Hey guys, welcome to the Rocky and Jiffy Show. I'm Rocky.
And I'm Jiffy. And you're listening to the Rocky and Jiffy Show. Can you believe the shit that's going on?
No, you want to talk about it? Stupid. It's not working.
Love the intro.
We had a lot of fun doing that.
It kind of took... Well, it took you forever.
Yeah, because I didn't. I walked right up to the mic and was like. She was like, say something.
I'm giving up on you.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
man.
Welcome back to season 2, episode 6.
Can you believe it?
I know.
I cannot.
Oh my God.
This is like the favorite day of the my favorite day of the week.
Tuesday.
Just getting to talk on our podcast with people.
I know. So today we have a very special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Thalia. I'm a licensed social worker and I work as a therapist for adolescents.
Yay! And we know her. She's our friend.
Yes.
You're my friend. Are you my friend?
Yes.
Oh, you said that with a question.
No, you are my friend. Mm.
You're my friend.
Sounded really creepy.
I'm sorry. I can't get over this.
Is it your first time on a podcast?
Yes.
Oh, yay. You don't look nervous at all.
You're like very comfortable.
Yeah.
Really? I was telling her, I don't really get... nervous.
Really?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
Wow.
I think that's a good thing.
You think so?
Mm, yeah. I don't know. That's dangerous. You're dangerous.
Okay.
Wow.
So I was telling her, I think I told you too, I do photography, so maybe it's because like the cameras and all that. Like I've been around that, so. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That might be.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That might be it. Okay. Should I spit my gum out?
I mean, I don't know. I don't
I'm going
to
hear it all on the mic.
Because I'm going to be turning my head to the side to eat my chips. With like tiny bits of, you know, nacho cheese.
So for those of you watching.
I need a man.
Oh my God.
Look. That's another podcast.
Oh, look at what I have to eat. Sorry. Go.
I don't know if most men cook for women, but maybe. So anyways, for those of you watching. My hair is no longer red.
It's blonde.
It looks so good.
It's very beautiful.
It's actually not blonde, right? Well, it's brown with blonde highlights.
I like that description.
Which
that's
is
more
weird.
Like a sandy. They're going for a sandy blonde.
It's weird to me. And I asked for gold. This is not what I asked for. I'm not
so
very happy
pretty.
About it. You can think that, but I'm not happy about it. Anyways, today we're going to be talking about cultural stipulations on mental health. And I'm just so proud of us and our journey and how far we've come.
Yeah.
We've been doing a podcast for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Our listeners have like.
Like, so couple, I feel like it's more than just a couple of months.
Since March. That's a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
March, April, May, June, July. 5 months. We're almost at a half a year.
What?
So I know, well, I remember hearing that most of your viewers were men. Have y'all seen that change?
No.
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 I don't know. Men just love us.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Or maybe they don't love us. Maybe they're trying to like learn.
Maybe they're trying to, yeah.
But we're not like, I don't know. We're not like regular women. Mm-hmm. This one over here, she's a clown.
Mm-hmm. Oh. By accident, I don't mean to.
It's the nerves. You still get nervous?
Not as much. Mm. Not as much.
Okay.
I'm so tired of being scared.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. You're like coming out of your shell.
I know.
Oh my gosh. If you just like see the person that she's come to be, like she used to be like so passive and timid and somebody would make her mad and she'll just like... and let them walk by and won't say anything. And now she'll bite your fucking head off. She's just like, no, you're not going to say that to me. I will beat your ass. I don't know who this person is.
Pretty much.
Standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
I know.
Which I didn't know. I didn't do.
Yeah.
It feels good.
That's good. Yeah. It feels good.
I don't know that song.
You don't know that song? Are you?
Feels
I'm gonna play it for you.
I got the tune.
Okay. Let's
Who
stay
sings
on track
that?
Today. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so as you know, mental health is extremely important. Yes. And above all, mental illness does not discriminate.
No, it does not.
So we thought that we just wanted to talk about like stigmas of mental health in different cultures. Mm-hmm. And because we work in an acute care facility where like we see mm-hmm. mental illnesses
all
we
the time.
See the differences in families.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the time.
Whether that's like Latinas, mm-hmm. African Americans, whites, Asians,
Indians.
Oh, Indians mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. Even Nigerians.
True.
Africans. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, like we, you know, we preach treatment. Like on this show, we do. We are like, oh, you know, go to therapy and take your medication and use your coping skills. Mm-hmm. But we never take into account like what our background thinks about that.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. How were our parents? Oh, thank God there was no water in there, baby. Or, like, any cultural limitations when it comes to mental health. So today we have our Latina therapist.
Yes. I love the diversity that we're bringing to the table.
This is very spicy.
I know.
Very spicy.
You know what's crazy? So I'm white. Well, I'm Puerto Rican, but I look very white. Mm-hmm. I'll just say I'm white. Uh-huh. And I was raised by black people and Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. And you're black.
And I was raised by white people. Well, look at that. Crazy.
And so the differences of like when it comes to mental yeah. health, mm-hmm. then we have Thalia.
Yeah.
Where like mental health doesn't exist.
My goodness.
My parents still don't know what I'm doing.
Oh my God.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
But before we start, Rocky's, you're going to do a rant today?
Yes, I am.
What are you ranting about?
I'm ranting about, so last night I was, you know, reading up on, you know, what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to have the TV on low, you know, just to make it, you know, like noise, like, you know, like white noise. I like that. It's comforting. Anyways, a recap of, my goodness, I know a lot of my friends are going to be like, oh my God, nah. But I hate this show.
Uh-oh.
The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And oh, Almost like in show. Paradise. Literally, I'm being very serious when I say I hate this show. For one, I don't know if I'm being awakened, but women, we're very powerful, are we not?
Yeah, we are.
We are.
Very resilient. Mm-hmm. We're built tough. Tell me why the hell... are we chasing after some stupid-ass rose and one man? It's very, like, belittling to me.
You think 90% of it is real?
I think that it's...
It's just a scripted TV show.
No, it's not.
It is. It's scripted. It's a scripted show.
It is a reality show, but not all of it is scripted. It's unscripted. And the producers encourage pettiness. They encourage bad behavior.
Oh, yeah, for TV.
There's mm-hmm. alcohol that's readily available. There has been some accounts of the people that were on the show. They expressed to the producers that they were alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And what did the producers do?
They handed them alcohol?
Handed them alcohol. Now, I understand that as human beings, we have to be responsible for our own actions, correct, and our own consequences. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's trying to let you know something, that was her part of being responsible.
Oh, like she's like a recovering alcoholic?
She's a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, wow.
And saying all that alcohol, and she, yeah. you know, they don't give a damn about nobody. And I'm just, you know, I guess I'm just on this trip about, because I have a daughter, and I do my damnedest to be a good example for her. I'm not waiting for, you know, Cardi B or whoever, the latest female artist, to be an example to my daughter. I can do that.
Yeah.
And to see that this is okay. And like, I will, like, you know, even at work or out and about, like, I'll just like, oh, something about The Bachelor, whatever. And women are like, oh my God, like, why? Why? It's stupid. I want it to be like, ugh.
What else did you read about it?
I read some disturbing facts. There has been 8 deaths. And out of 8 deaths, there was 6 suicides.
Wow.
Now, I know that some of The Bachelor and Bachelorette had an impact mm-hmm. on the decision, I believe.
Because they didn't get the rose or the man?
They didn't get the rose. You know, they were sent home. You know, you're...
Probably embarrassed on the
embarrassed,
show.
Embarrassed, you know?
Yeah.
There's, like, do they keep up with these people? And, you know, like, after they get booted off, they can't contact anybody. So that's why they keep developing these stupid shows, Bachelor, Bachelor. There's even been some contestants that they've asked not to come back. Mm. Like, this is crazy. And I would, I'll cuss you out real quick if you're going to tell me, well, you know, people die. No, death is a death. And I don't do well with death. And I never will be comfortable with death. I don't care if it was your time or it wasn't your time.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just fucking senseless. And then you never hear about it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
And then they have a spinoff show for the rejects.
Yes, yeah. Almost Paradise. So they throw them on this island, so to speak, with more alcohol. And, you know, another thing, they don't do a good job with screening these people. A lot of these people I've seen as, you know, people I take care of at work. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. their mind mm-hmm. is not where it needs to be. They have no business on that show.
Yeah.
They do it for television
ratings.
They do it for...
They expose people and put them in...
Embarrass and, yeah. you know, God, oh, it just makes me sick.
It makes you not want to be in the industry.
Oh, no. I don't need anybody to tell me that I'm not cute, I'm too short, but... Been there, done there. I got the t-shirt. I am gorgeous. And I don't need not one man in those stupid ass rows to be chosen to feel worthy. Listen, women, you are enough. You are enough. You are enough. You are enough. Please, can we stop this stupid behavior? And these women, they're intelligent. They have bachelor's, master's mm-hmm. degrees. They're like us.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Sit your ass down somewhere. He's coming. Jesus. Well, that's my rant. Sorry.
Well, that's the Rocky and Jiffy show. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. Like, we need nothing else. Like, I wanted to cry. Like, I am enough. Say it again.
You are enough.
Yes.
You're beautiful. You're whole. Gosh. You are enough.
I need to say that and look in the mirror at this ugly ass hairdo.
Yes, because you are gorgeous.
You are so enough. Gorgeous. Man.
Well, anywho, let's talk about mental health.
Mental health. Ooh. You know, it's a.
So, if you. I want the professional, please, Lord, the professional. Oh, like,
we're
semi-professionals.
Teach us.
Give us an introduction of what mental health is and the importance of taking care of it.
Oh, okay. So I always like to think about, this is like a simple way to think of it, is mental health is a combination of our psychological, emotional, and social well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects how we think, it affects how we feel, what we do, and so... It's so important to take care of it. And I feel mm-hmm. like people neglect it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they focus on other things, physical mm-hmm. health, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, really have to take care of it. And it's just so neglected. So I'm hoping that this will kind of help
mm-hmm.
give some insight.
Yes.
Because it's definitely needed.
So if someone does fail to take care of their mental health, what kind of illnesses can come about?
Oh, so many illnesses.
I know. Like, if you can categorize what, like, types or...
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll talk about maybe some of the ones that we're more used to hearing, right? There are different types of depressive anxiety disorders. My biggest pet peeve is when people call other people bipolar because
they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, because the actual diagnosis for bipolar mm-hmm. has so many criteria that you have to mm-hmm. meet. Yeah. One of the big ones is mania, right? You mm-hmm. have to have mania or mm-hmm. hypomania
okay.
To get that diagnosis. And it's mm-hmm. like people, when someone is like, happy at one point and then sad the next, they're like, oh, they're bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a lot more to that one. You know?
And then the stages of mania and mm-hmm. then the lows, mm-hmm. they're more like 2 to 3 weeks.
True.
And then they switch.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not like a flip-flop.
Yeah, like people, I always get on to people about that and they're just like, nobody asked you. But mm-hmm. like, you need to know. You're going around diagnosing people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's bipolar.
Yeah. So that's a big one. But yeah, I mean, we hear a lot about like PTSD. A lot of people might have heard of like schizophrenia, mm-hmm. you know, there's different psychotic disorders. There's neurodevelopment disorders. That's when you get into like your autism and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some that maybe we don't really think about or we don't really hear as much, maybe like gender dysphoria, right? Mm-hmm. Feeding or eating disorders, mm-hmm. which are also big. So, I mean, there's so many different illnesses yeah. that if we don't take care of each other, we can develop, right?
Mm-hmm. We're starting to see more of the gender dysphoria
yeah. Yeah.
And the eating disorders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're very, like, hidden, especially people who are transitioning from one gender to another or, like, uh-huh. they identify as one mm-hmm. and they've, yeah. like, been in the closet all their lives.
Exactly, yeah. And, ooh, and that's a good conversation to have in general when we talk about culture, right, and how you handle that because mm-hmm. that's probably been the most difficult that I've seen whenever there are gender issues mm-hmm. in a patient, and then those family sessions are just something else.
They just don't like they just
they don't accept it, they don't understand it, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. especially when I have patients that have maybe their guardians are their grandparents, mm-hmm. That's even harder, right, because they come from a different generation,
yeah.
And so yeah, it's I will say it's I feel like from what I see it's a little more rare to get parents that are super supportive mm-hmm. of that, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So would you say culture obviously is important to mental health?
Yes.
Do you think that a certain culture like has determines whether or not somebody will seek help?
Yes. So good question, because we know that racial and ethnic minorities usually either fail or delay seeking treatment for mental health, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that sucks in general, but then also we have to think about that they also have they're less likely to have mental health services or access to mental health services. And then even when
due to like insurance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And even when they do get the services, it will be maybe more poor quality, mm-hmm, right?
Like low income, uh-huh. like, you know, way mm-hmm. in the hood. You can't get transportation. Yeah. They're not going to give you transportation. They only have a couple appointments mm-hmm. a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that shame is also a part of it?
Oh, absolutely. The stigma behind mental health?
Uh-huh.
Yep, a lot. So in a lot of different minority cultures, they don't believe in mental health or they feel like it's an excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're kind of this whole, like, just be strong, right? Mm-hmm. Or get over it kind of mindset, which makes it super difficult. And also just adds on to a reason of, like, we don't need to seek treatment for that. We don't need to waste money on that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Where do you think that comes from? That 'cause we see, like, majority of people who seek help, they're mostly, like, white people.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that, why is it okay, like, for white people to be like, I need help, please help me.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a difficult question just because there are so many things that go into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I've worked, so my background is mostly in residential treatment centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've worked in some that are higher income, some that are maybe lower income. And for all of them, it was so rare when I would get like a Black, Hispanic, Asian kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was so rare. Usually it was always white, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the parents would always talk about how like they didn't know this was a thing. You know, they would be like, oh, I just thought they were sad. You know, I didn't know they were having all these suicidal thoughts or self-harm
mm-hmm.
thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would talk about financial, right? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't have insurance. Like, yes, I noticed something was going on. Maybe they didn't understand it, but they didn't mm-hmm. have access to the mental health.
Uh-huh.
Even for residential, you need really good insurance to get in a residential.
Wow.
Yes.
So it makes sense why you would only see, like, a certain mm-hmm. type of
yes,
kid there.
For sure. And even, like, at some of the residentials that I've worked at, we offer very few, but we do offer scholarships, right? And so the scholarships, though, are usually given to the kids. Obviously, they have to meet criteria, but also they were looking for kids that were going to be voluntary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to waste their money.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't want to be there,
true.
Right? And a lot of those kids came from supportive families that understood mental health, that could
wow.
support them and tell them, you know, why this was a mm-hmm. good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
was it a large group?
What do you mean? Of
the children that showed up?
For scholarships?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, we would have a few scholarships every now and then. It wasn't too often because residential treatment, it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like each day is at least $1,000.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, it could be like 3 months,
exactly.
6 months, nine
that
months.
That should be, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's just, there are a lot of things. Like I never saw, none of my scholarship kids were ever any other race but white.
Mm-hmm.
So
What is it?
So some of the differences, like, that you see in the cultures, can we kind of, like, break them down?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Here, you shoot out. Shoot out something. Which culture first?
Which culture first? I guess Africans.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Okay. So, one of the biggest things that I see, and maybe y'all can relate, so forms of discipline or how they support their kids,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So,
do as I say.
Yes.
Do as I say. Uh-huh. Yes. Or even also, like, the behaviors that they do, mm-hmm, to discipline their kids, right? That's one of the big things that comes up in all cultures, because most of, like, my white patients, they will, you know, be more supportive. They understand the concept of coping skills and, mm-hmm, like, why you should use them and, like, certain ones, why they work and when, mm-hmm, you know, and all of that. When it comes to other families, they look at certain coping skills as, like, why am I going to reward them, mm-hmm, right? Okay. So, for example, some of the kids find sports to be helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had one family that was like, well, why am I going to let them go outside and play football or basketball if, like, they just got upset or whatever, you know, like, they just need to calm down. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that is their way of calming down, mm-hmm, right? And so they don't understand that. A lot of other things of discipline is just physical stuff. And when we get into, like, the abuse part, it aggressive gets so tricky.
There's, like, wow, a thin line.
There's between a thin line.
Like, yes, between discipline, mm-hmm, and abuse when, yeah, it comes to, yeah, Africans and Nigerians.
True.
Like,
yep,
I've seen it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Because, so, with, like, my culture, the Latin culture, we hear a lot about the chancla.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The shoe.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes,
I have this video on Facebook where, like, there's, like, the Latina mom and she's throwing the chancla.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
I used to get hit with a chancla when I was,
did,
at my aunt's house, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man. I used to love watching when I would hear, I'm going to grab the chancla. Hear,
clap, clap.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Just
exactly.
Go quick. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
With Black people, I see a lot of, like, whipping them with a switch,
yeah, okay,
or a belt,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. A cord.
I've seen, like, extension cords, yeah, all those things, right?
Yeah. My stepdad was Black. He used to hit me with all of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what we use.
And so, like, for me, I have a lot of Black friends, so I was familiar with the whole, like, switch story and, like, go pick, mm-hmm, out a switch, and you better, true, not pick out, like, a skinny,
yeah,
one,
okay,
either. Right?
They would check it.
Exactly.
My mom would check. She's like, why is the nubs rubbed off? You know what? Never mind. Let's go.
Let's go get another. Exactly. So, for me, like, that has never, before I was in social work, that has never been, like, a thing of abuse. But when you're in social work, you get taught to look at a case holistically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we look at culture so that we don't make these, I guess, like, false allegations of abuse when, mm-hmm, maybe it wasn't meant that way, right?
Okay.
And so for these reasons, right, I've also seen a lot of, I think it's, like, Asian cultures where they kneel on rice for a,
wow,
certain number.
Even, like, in this day and age?
Yes, I had,
I
someone,
thought that was done, like, over with.
Yeah, it's definitely still a thing. So I've heard that a few times, definitely not as common as the other examples I just gave, but that's still something that I've heard, right, where it's, like, it's definitely a cultural thing, but, mm-hmm, is that appropriate? Probably not. Do you know what,
yeah,
I mean? So,
because it would make them feel more of, like, it's their fault and, you know, it's shameful,
yeah,
instead of, like, you know, let's talk and try
and
to understand.
There are a lot of people, too, that, because I hear this all the time, where some of my friends or whoever will be like, well, my mama whooped me and, like, I'm good. You know, I turned out well. I don't,
mm-hmm,
have any of that.
Yeah.
Which, yes, it's true. And there are people that are not going to be like that and they are going to be affected,
mm-hmm,
by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk to families, they don't understand. They're like, well, I whoop all my other kids and they don't have these issues. And it's like, okay,
true,
well, everybody's not the same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? They feel different things,
mm-hmm,
when you tell them to go get a switch or,
mm-hmm,
you know, whatever.
When you're talking about discipline, and then in some white families, you see a lack of discipline,
mm-hmm,
where, like, you know, some of the other cultures, we're, like, quick to discipline,
uh-huh,
in,
okay,
a physical manner. And then some of the white families are like, no, I've never hit my child.
Mm-hmm.
I would never hit my child.
I would
child.
Never hit my baby.
And so,
and to, like,
and then
you can
see, like,
the kids
some of
even
us
being disrespectful to the parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, mom, take $20.
And you see some of us like, oh, he needed his ass whooped.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a little whooping won't hurt you. No, yeah, we see that a lot. A lot of the my white families, we do see a lack of discipline. It's all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just so hard to,
mm-hmm,
achieve, right? Because everybody is so different in how,
mm-hmm,
they take that discipline. But yeah, we see that a lot. I'm in family sessions sometimes with families, and the kid is telling the mom what the aftercare plan is. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute.
Oh, like, my goodness.
They are an adolescent. You tell me. This yes. is like a conversation between yeah. us, right? So, yeah, it's just, it makes everything a little more wow. complicated.
So when it comes to, like, seeking help and, like, mental health overall, mm-hmm. what are some of the responses that you see from certain cultures?
So I've also seen this too when I, so at residential treatment centers, we usually follow up with whoever we refer them to. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of Black and Latina families, I see that maybe there wasn't a follow-up care, right? Mm-hmm. So we made these plans and they're telling us yes, yes, yes. And then you go back home and I feel like
that kind of like undoes it. Like they're there for a long time and then to not follow up.
Yes. And I feel like people think, okay, so I see this a lot. When they come, they expect us to fix them, right? Mm. To fix yeah. their kid.
Okay.
And then they go back home and they're supposed to be fine.
Oh, goodness.
And it does not work that way, yeah. right? Yeah.
Gotta put in the work.
Exactly. So we see a lot of that. Maybe no follow up with, no follow through with follow up appointments in different cultures. There are, I feel like what I see a lot with white families is that they also can be afraid of the repercussions if they don't follow up, right? We know working with adolescents, like mm-hmm. CPS can be involved in all that, so they are a little bit more willing to follow up with those services. Yeah. But something else for, like, Latin families or other families that don't speak English, too, that also can be a barrier because, for example, today I had a thing with one of my parents that I was working with. There was a misunderstanding about, like, when the follow-up care was supposed to happen and mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? And so I also think that the language barrier is a mm-hmm. big thing.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, they'll call places and nobody speaks the language.
Yeah. Spanish.
And then they'll have, like, mm-hmm. they do have translation services where they can call, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, people might be lazy and they don't want to call the numbers.
Exactly. Oh, God.
And then people get frustrated and it's like, well, I didn't even want to do this anyway. So.
And then instead of, like, trying to get somebody to help, they might just be like, I don't understand, and hang up the phone.
True.
And they tend to speak louder as if the person's deaf.
Yeah.
yep. So I feel like language barriers is such a big thing. And I've, you know, I'm lucky to speak Spanish, so I'm able to help out a little bit more. But I mean, there have been other languages that obviously I don't speak. And I'm like, how do we help this person get the best services possible, mm-hmm. right? Wow. So there is that part, too, that just kind of makes it harder to get the services.
Yeah. Just a little side note, when I was a kid, I talked about it before, but I had a CPS caseworker who she was Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I couldn't deal with her. One time I called her because my mom, she was like physically abusing me. She like choked me and she almost killed me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And so I called the caseworker and, you know, she's just like, she's my caseworker. Like I'm supposed to be able to call her, right? So I called her and I said, look, my mom, and I didn't even want to call her. So I was, I started working at a young age. I did like an OJT program when I was in high school. I went to a trade high school mm-hmm. and I talked to one of my supervisors. And she, I guess she noticed that I was down and I just told her, you know, like I was going through a lot at home. I think I was like, I don't know how old I was, but I was going through a lot and, I told her and she made me call my caseworker and I didn't want to call her because I knew the caseworker, like I just knew how she was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I called her, she said, I'll never forget her voice. She was like, no, your mother can do no wrong. She's your mother. You're her child. You're supposed to listen to her. I said, no, she choked me. She tried to kill me. And she said, no, you're unruly. You don't listen.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And so I requested to, you know, remove her, and I ended up getting another person.
That's good. But, goodness. You bring up a really good point because, so in terms of, like, families that I've treated, I don't know that I've had many Nigerian, but right now in our work setting, there's a lot of maybe, like, foster moms or stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. that they are maybe from that culture. And the conversations about, like, respect and all that are so big, almost to mm-hmm. a point where they're not willing to hear any way of how to help the mm-hmm. child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I get frustrated more with foster parents because it's like, okay, you're getting a kid in your home that has been through so much, that has this long history of trauma, right?
Yeah.
So yes, they're not gonna be like a regular kid that's just gonna easily follow directions, right? Mm-hmm. Or they may be a little bit more agitated, more frustrated, right? They maybe don't have the best coping skills. But in their mindset, it's like, you just need to be respectful. and like, I'm the grown up, you're the child, you're supposed to listen to me,
yeah.
you know? And so that can cause so much damage to a kid too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you,
that's how I was
raised.
Then
you end up in situations like this, right? Where you actually need the help mm-hmm. and nobody is helping you.
Yeah.
And then also like you as a kid, when you realize that you're like in a foster home or a group home, you start to realize that you're not getting what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You just realize like, oh, they're getting money for me.
Wow.
And when you have a foster home or a group home, so especially if CPS is your guardian,
mm-hmm.
they're paying at least anywhere from $600 to $1,000. Mm-hmm. It could be like per day, or if it's like a long-term placement, they could be getting like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 a month mm-hmm. for a kid. And I mean, literally their only job to do is to make sure that the kid is eating, that he has like somewhere to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a private area. Mm-hmm. They just
basic needs.
Yeah. Basic needs are met and that's it.
Wow.
And yeah, and they have some like responsibility to make sure that, you know, they go to like health mm-hmm. appointments, dentists, whatever. But they don't really press mental health. Especially like with CPS, for whatever reason. I mean, they should press for mental health, but they don't.
Mm.
It's, you know, I guess unless they get in an acute care setting.
That's mm-hmm. horrible. Side note, I remember, I don't know how CPS was called, but they were called on us.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to take care of us, and you could literally tell that, you know, we were in bad shape. And CPS came out and, you know, did a, what do they call it?
An investigation?
An investigation, and that was it.
Yeah, they do that left. A lot. They close prematurely. Like, they close the cases.
They just left, and I was, like, I was just hoping that maybe, like, one of them would be like, hey, can I talk to them, like, by themselves? So I could, like, tell them, because my grandmother was not, she was horrible.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's what sucks, I think, when CPS is involved sometimes, because also, too, there is a lot of, I guess, they feel like it's more important if there are actual physical wounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they can see that proof. But what we know is that emotional abuse is
mm-hmm.
causes probably even more harm than physical mm-hmm. abuse, right? But unfortunately, you can't see that. So
yeah. I think even to this day, not a lot of people really focus on the emotional mm-hmm. part of mm-hmm. us and like how our mental status is, and it doesn't really raise a red flag unless you see someone talking to themselves
mm-hmm.
or if they're like seeing something that true. You know you don't
see.
Yeah.
So how was it being raised in your household? So Latina, but what do you identify as?
So my mom is Mexican, my dad's Salvadoran.
Okay.
And I was
so two different cultures.
Yes. And I was born here in Houston, so very different cultures. I identify more, so I definitely identify with both, but we're just a lot closer to like the Mexican side of my family. Like I've gone to El Salvador once in my lifetime, but I was little.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to Mexico pretty much every year, so that's kind of why I identify with the most. But to answer the question, so the whole therapy thing really didn't come to my mind until I started grad school. I didn't know I was going to be a therapist, but I've been in the mental health field since I was like 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I liked it. I didn't really know much about therapy or how to do it if I wanted to do it. But growing up, like I was always, I loved, like, in high school, like, my psychology courses and stuff like that, you know, so I've always been interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But my family, yeah, no, I mean, we don't talk about feelings. That's not a thing.
Wow.
We, you know, when it comes, even, like, grieving looks different for us, right? I get a lot of, like, it was their time, you know,
yeah.
or, like, it was God's will, and so true. You're supposed to be okay, right?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, like, what happens when somebody passes? You guys go to the funeral?
So we do everything in terms of, like, you know, we cry, we do all that stuff. We go to the funeral, they get buried, and then after that,
you don't talk about it?
Not really. And when we do, like I said, it's very, I mean, I like it because it's more in a celebratory way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everybody grieves so differently, right? True. And so sometimes it's like, it's, well, I don't care if it was God's will, I'm still sad, right?
Yeah.
Question. Do you guys celebrate the Day of the Dead?
We do.
Oh, yeah, that's so, so cool.
So we do the little altar and everything.
Wow.
You have pictures of, like, everybody that passed in your family?
Yes, uh-huh. So
that's so
we'll
cool.
We'll have pictures of everybody. We'll add in, like, people who were maybe important. Like, when we started the whole altar thing recently in my immediate family, but, like, I know my family in Mexico, that's been a thing
Have always. You ever seen the people come?
What people?
Like, the spirits? I don't know. On the movie Coco. It's not like that? You're like the... I mean, not like probably, that. Not like,
like, you
know,
all the spirits
everybody.
Come to my house and just chill.
Yes.
No, I've never seen it. But I mean, I guess maybe if you
some people
really...
have seen spirits.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen.
I've seen my my father.
Wow. Was it scary?
In. No, it was very comforting. I've seen my mother come to me.
Wow.
She was actually kind of mad. She was actually mad.
Why was she mad?
Well, because I wasn't married. She came to me. After I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, I literally sat down and, like, fell asleep. And I, wow.
I would love for her to come to you now.
I mean,
so
hand on
okay.
her
so
hip.
Proud of you.
Hand on her hip. And I just, wow. She was very stern, but I understood.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting goosebumps. I always say, I never saw a spirit, and I never want to see one.
I would want
to. So if y'all are past, stay where you are, baby. Watch me from a distance.
Oh, okay, goodness. So side note, there's this thing called, like, paranormal psychology. I've always been into stuff like
yeah.
that.
What?
So when I first, so, like, this was in high school, I really wanted to get into that. I would read on it. Like, I love all that stuff. So I've never seen a spirit, but I've seen, like, scary things. Do y'all know what La Llorona is?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
So, like, I saw her when I was little. I was so scared. So I've seen stuff like that, but not, like,
what is she?
She, oh,
Jennifer.
My God.
La Llorona?
Yeah.
Come on, we...
Come on, let me look at
you.
She's horrible.
From Texas. Is it a Texas thing?
No.
I mean,
but like,
how do you spell it? How do you spell it?
I think
so. L A space.
There's a different name for all cultures, right?
L O R O N A. Like, I feel like every culture has a thing. What are they called?
Oh my God, no.
Like, we have, I think it's called the banshee. Or no. It's not the banshee. It's Cause that spirit kills babies.
Yeah, she drowned.
I would
like,
love for her to
kids.
Show up in my house.
She drowned her
and try to drown my babies.
Uh-huh.
Bitch, wait a minute. Come on in here.
man.
Yeah, so. Okay, so recap. You don't talk about feelings.
Okay, yeah.
Passing is just like it's their time.
Yes.
What about like when you hurt yourself?
What you mean?
Like, if you fall and, like, you're riding a bicycle and you just fail.
Okay, so that's where I feel like we can bring in genders, right? Because so I have three sisters. So there's four of us, my mom, and then my dad, right? So he's the only male. So I feel like they're a little more open to that sensitivity, right?
Okay.
But with some of my cousins that are males, if they ever fall down or something, don't let my dad be... Like, my dad will be quick to call you all kinds of names, honestly, about, like, stop being gay or, like, that you need to be stronger, you know, all this stuff. So I think it definitely depends on gender when it comes to things like that. But yeah, overall, I mean, we didn't talk about mental health at all. Like, that was not a thing. I feel like I didn't really learn about that until I got into, like, college, you know, and really got into it. And then definitely when I got to grad school, that's when I learned pretty much everything. So social work in general, it's always, people think social workers, they associate us with CPS, right? Or you take kids away. That's always what we get. And so we can do so much, right? And so when I explained to my family what I wanted to do, they looked at me like, why would you want to do that? And then my dad is also big on, like, how much money you're going to make, you know?
Wow.
It's good money, right? Okay. All right. Well.
Okay. I had a professor that always said, like, don't let anybody tell you that social workers can't make money, because you can, depending on what you do, right? There are different social workers. There are, like, social workers that work, like, we can be in, like, government positions, you know, stuff like that. And so definitely range from different, depending on your profession, right?
Do you see yourself moving to, like, another type of social work eventually?
I don't know. Right now, I like therapy, and... I know I'll probably always work with adolescents. Like, I've always loved adolescents. I've been doing that for a while.
Which is weird, because we can't ever find anybody who likes.
I know it's so rare. So when I applied for this job, actually, my boss was like, "You want to be on that unit?" I was like, and so I told her I don't want to be on any unit except that one. And so luckily it worked out, you know.
Wow.
So yeah, we were able to get it, but. Yeah, so it is a harder population, I think, that people don't really want to work with. But yeah, so I love working with that. And so when I told my parents, they didn't really understand. My mom has gotten better. I feel like she definitely has understood a little bit more mm-hmm. about mental health. My dad, I don't know if I'm ever going to change him. He wow. just, so he grew up, my dad grew up in El Salvador really, really, really poor. Like poverty and more, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think because of the life that he's lived, he's just very like obstacles. It's just part of life. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you got to be strong, you move on and all this stuff. So I think that's why he just cannot comprehend like depression or anxiety.
Like, I got here, you know, this far.
Yeah. He'll be like, well, I crossed the river this many times and I went.
What does he think about Trump?
You know, that's interesting because he, I mean, overall, he doesn't like him. But there are certain comments that he'll make that just piss me off because I'm like, why would you say that? You realize you're a minority too, right?
Yeah. There's actually a lot of Mexicans or like Mexican Americans that love Trump.
Yeah. Him.
Yeah. They love him because he painted this picture as if he is self-made, and if he could make himself a millionaire off of the $1,000 that he borrowed from his father,
yeah.
then so can everyone else.
But yep. slowly but surely, we're seeing the paint chips peel yes. off the wall.
Yeah. So,
baby man.
I don't know, but I mean, like I said, my dad still doesn't understand what I do. I hate when he says, like, I have to call him out on all the time. He's like, oh, you work with crazy people. I'm like, I do not work with crazy people. So
it's good that you can still, like, you know, you can stand mm-hmm. up to him and you can exactly. just be like, Dad, yeah. no, I'm not. I don't work with crazy people.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's not local.
Right. So it's a lot of that in my family right now with them.
What about if somebody in your family identifies as gay or like transgender?
That's not a thing.
No, it's not a thing.
Nope. You better not.
You a boy. You was born a boy and you are a boy.
Yeah, boy.
My dad talks so much shit about what's her name? The Kardashian, the dad.
Oh, Jenner.
Oh, Jenner.
Yes.
Chris, what's her name?
No.
What is her
name? Crystal?
No.
Kendall.
No. That's the daughter.
That's one of the daughters.
Oh, I can't remember. Yes, we know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Caitlin. Oh, my God.
I was going to say Bruce.
Caitlin. Oh, girl.
Yes. Like, no. Okay, so when it comes to, like, gay people, my dad is definitely, like, no.
That's definitely not a thing.
So, yeah, that would be hard if me or any of my sisters were like, and I think like being gay is already an issue, but when it comes to like you want to change your body for that, oh no, that's that's like a foreign concept to him.
And is that consistent with what you see in other Latina families? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Latin families?
Yes, I it's so rare when any of my friends, family or patients or anybody where I feel like the family is accepting. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember one case or one family that has been accepting of that.
The only families that I've seen accepting are actually white.
Mm-hmm. That's what I can name a few cases that were more accepting. But yeah, I feel like any minority, no. I mean, I really cannot think of a case where
I have a question. Is it because, you know, we keep saying it's more white that are more accepted. Does religion play like a big role? Because I don't feel like, you know, white people are very religious.
No, I haven't seen that a lot. Like I rarely see. Okay, so I was raised by black people, so they were very deep into Christianity.
Okay,
and everything was like the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Bible said, and all this.
Okay,
so and
are
I
y'all
think
Baptist.
They were Baptist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I could tell already. That's Baptist right there.
And And the white people that I know are not religious at all. Mm-hmm.
On Sundays, they did the yard instead of go to church.
I mean, with the folks that I was living with, we had to, go to Bible study on Wednesdays.
Yes.
We have to wake up early to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Had to be there for the 8 o'clock service all the way to 11 o'clock. Might stay a little later for the lunch. Right. You have to clean up afterwards.
So you were in church for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't just me. My mom used to have to pack a sandwich and some chips.
Okay, so this is funny because I heard this a lot from my friends, but for us, church is an hour, and that's what it is. So when my friends, like, I remember always, like, my friend would be like, she would want me to come to church with her and stuff, and I'm like, oh, because y'all be there for like 3-5 hours.
That's so funny.
But church looks different though, because with the times that I have gone, or what I know based on what they tell me, there's a lot of singing and movement and doing all this stuff. Where for me, I was raised Catholic, so it's very like it's very structured.
Okay.
It's that 1 hour, and that's what it is. And it's also very, it doesn't change, right? So every Sunday is the same thing. What changes is like the Bible verse that we're talking about, right? But as far as the steps and what we do, like, I could literally do that in my sleep because it never changes. Yeah.
I went to a Catholic church once. I was dating someone in college, and I was scared out of my mind. I felt like I was in a movie, and I was like, I am never going back, ever. Everybody was like sitting. Just so structured.
Yeah.
Like you're like in the other churches, you're so close. But in the Catholic churches, you like it's almost like social distancing is a thing.
Yeah.
And then they line up and get the bread and the juice. Do y'all do this? Whatever, baby.
Oh, I think I know what you're about to say.
Drink from the same cup, break off the same bread.
Oh my God. Yes.
And then you go, may peace be with you. And peace be with you.
Okay.
I looked at him and I was like,
and I don't think I want to be with you.
I don't think I want to be with you.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So
okay.
The one that I saw, my best friend.
You went to Catholic one too?
Yes.
Okay, tell me.
My best friend is, her grandmother were Catholic, grandparents were Catholic. We went on the Sunday of communion. Now, I thought we had to, like, you know, because it was all structured. Mm-hmm. The person was, like, 11 feet away and didn't move. I was, like, even looking at the people because it didn't even look like they were breathing. Mm. Okay? So the thing that was so wild is we saw the priest in all of his decorative.
Like a mini pope. He looked like a mini pope.
Yeah, with the hat and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he had,
y'all just look at me like, is this correct?
Yeah, he had like something in the smoke or whatever. Uh-huh. Okay.
What?
And this church was real uppity and rich. Nobody got up to
get
in line.
They didn't have suits or anything, right? They had shirts and shit.
Yes, but they were rich and no one got in line. Everyone literally just did like what I'm doing. And a little chair came out, and then knelt. And I was like, no! Oh, no!
I was scared to move when I went, I was scared to move.
They're like, and the chip, the little bread was already in place, and the little cup was already in the little cup behind the chair. I said, it's poison.
Oh, my God. This is so funny to hear because I was raised like that, so that's just how it was. So anytime I've gone to any other church, for me, it feels so weird. I'm telling you, every Sunday is the same. It's so structured. We have times of, you know when you're going to stand up. You know when you're going to kneel. You know the whole. Okay, so as I got older, I realized that is kind of weird. The whole drinking from the same cup, right?
And like, especially with the corona going on.
We don't do that no more. But yeah, we do that. And I remember when my friends, some of our friends were part of our court for our quinceañera, right? So that was the first time they came to a Catholic church. And when they would see, I'd be like, y'all just drinking out the same cup. Like, it's nothing.
God. Gross.
And I'm just like,
and then you get strays.
Weird.
Like, they don't come every Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, when I went, I was like, I'm not doing anything. I was like, I ain't doing this piece. I ain't breaking no bread. I ain't getting in no line. I said, look, I am not Catholic. He was like, you ain't going to do nothing. I said, no, I'm just going to sit here because I might violate God's. Like, right. I might not
wish I
would have
seen you as a kid back in the day. So we used
to. I was in there singing the hymns.
Okay, so we had the hymns. Okay, I was raised in a cult. Okay. Uh-huh. We had the hymns, but we also had the same cup. And we had the loaf of bread, like, bigger than that, the keyboard.
Oh my God.
It was like a whole, like, loaves up there. And like, just bread. Family, come get a loaf. family, come get a loaf. And they would just like truck these, and we hated it because it had been through so many hands.
Right.
Oh my God.
And so they like, and they were like, break it off. This is a piece of whatever. You know, the whole like rhyme. I was like, you better not put that nowhere near my mouth. And this is the Lord's blood. And I was like, I just saw your spit come back into that cup. God. Oh, no.
By the way, we're having an episode about her surviving a cult coming up soon. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. So you're going to cry, but I'm okay with that. I just want you to get it out.
I will.
That's healthy, right? To talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah, some of us like want to suppress it and not ever want to revisit it ever again, but it's healthy to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is like the biggest thing I try to tell people, and I feel like it just doesn't get through. It's like you have to talk about the things like this, because if not, you bottle it up. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder why people have anger outbursts, mm-hmm, or why they can't deal with stress, right? Mm-hmm. Or stuff like, and it's just like, it's because you have so much stuff bottled up. Mm-hmm. So yes, talk about it.
They just don't understand.
Maybe that's why you have so much stress.
Probably.
Well, you're getting a lot better with it.
I just know that I'm tired. I'm tired of being scared. Oh, I'm tired of like not knowing what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to be informed. And people that are close to me at work, they've noticed. Girl, we don't know what happened to you after Corona. who are you? I'm tired. I need to be a better person.
She went through a lot. She had a divorce and living separately from her kids. She talks about it all on the show, so I'm not telling her business. But
no, yeah, I do, yeah. It's rough.
I heard a little bit of it. I don't think I heard the cult episode yet, but I did hear.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, we haven't recorded it yet.
It took her some time to
agree to want to do it.
Yeah.
It's for my birthday. My birthday present.
That's what you wanted so bad for her to talk about it.
My goodness. Yeah.
So we only have a few more minutes. I did have a question, or maybe you can answer it. I don't know. We talked about religion, but okay. So I read that religion can actually cause psychosis, and I've seen it so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen it where people are just like, for instance, the older women, the Lord told them that they got to be this way, and then they start seeing Jesus and trying to give him bread and stuff. And have y'all seen that?
Okay, because I remember I asked you about this. I haven't seen it. I haven't really heard of it either, but I did a little bit of research whenever you mentioned it, and I did get some of those examples. It's something that I wanted to research more because I found it interesting, but I could see that, right?
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when people are like hyper-religious.
Yeah,
yes.
I've seen that.
When people are having certain like delusions or hallucinations, sometimes like religious figures come up. Mm-hmm. Or stuff related to religion.
True.
So I could see how maybe like people would think that causes that or is. Mm.
That I feel like we see more in the Black culture.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
I feel like it's Black and Indian.
Oh, definitely Indians.
Black and Indian.
Definitely. I'm just like, wait, I've seen it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow. Man,
it's crazy. Well. So, just real quickly as we're leaving, what would be like something that everyone can do, you know, about for mental health too? Because I know that we're all here to connect to one another. Yeah. We're not here all by ourselves. We have to connect to one another. So what can we do as a people?
Okay, so many things. But I will say, and this helped me and a lot of people that I know, like I never even heard this term, honestly, place like this until I got into grad school, but self-care.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that you can do for yourself. Take care of yourself, whatever that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's saying no to all these different commitments that you had, right? Just to make more time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting out toxic relationships, right? Or it could be simple things like maybe have 1 hour to yourself, you know, each day. Get a new hair color. Whatever it is, right? We can incorporate these things, but I feel like sometimes we're so busy with our lives and all these things come up and we forget about it. But if we do that, I think we would see a change in ourselves and how we handle stress, how we handle frustrations, right? And then just education. If you or somebody else that you know has a mental illness, right? Mm-hmm. Educate yourself on what it is,
okay,
what you can do to help them. Always check in with each other. I feel like a lot of people think it's so weird to talk about feelings or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't even have to go in that deep, but just checking mm-hmm. in with people. And when you ask, how are you doing today or something, and someone tells you fine, right? Follow up, because mm-hmm. everybody's going to tell you fine. No one's going to tell you, oh, well, I just had a breakup today and like mm-hmm. my kid did this and my mom is sick. And, you know, no one's going to say that. They're going to say mm-hmm. it's fine.
True.
So ask those follow up questions. Be curious about people.
Okay.
I think that can be helpful.
I am. I feel like I'm always curious.
Oh, I'm
like
very
to go
curious.
To the mall. I like to go to the mall and just watch people.
I love
Me and
it.
My dad used to love doing that.
So before I actually got into this profession in high school, just quickly, I was always so curious. I was always curious about people and their lives and just different stuff like that. And people always be like, you're so nosy. You're so nosy. And so it started getting to me. I was like, damn, well, maybe I am nosy. And then when I got, so my undergrad is in sociology. Mm-hmm. So it's all about like the society and mm-hmm. studying human behavior and stuff like that. And so I remember my professor was like, you know, if you're not curious about people, you don't belong in this profession. Mm, and that's when I knew. I was like, okay,
this is for me.
That's good.
Yeah. Also, it's also important too, if you were raised in a certain culture or like a certain background, it's okay to live in the here and the now mm-hmm. and to associate yourself, like disassociate yourself from what you've learned so that you yes. can take care of yourself. I have a couple of friends that are from like other parts of the world mm-hmm. that no, that's just not how we were raised. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't believe in mental health. Yeah. And it's just like, but now you're in America, mm-hmm. and it's very stressful here. Mm-hmm. It's not like the islands,
right?
Nope.
Like you,
fast paced,
yes. different lifestyle.
It's a rat race.
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself. Yeah. Like, I think it's yeah. important too, just to like, you don't have to hold on to who you were mm-hmm. as a child and mm-hmm. how you were brought up. Like, you're not disrespecting that culture. You mm-hmm. can still respect it, but still, in the same time, yeah. you have to adjust to where you
True.
Are
exactly.
in life.
True.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That's
Thank
good.
You so much for coming.
Yes, that was so much fun.
You're like such a natural.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, I would have never, and you didn't even want to be on camera.
I know.
This is so crazy.
I can't believe it.
I'm
I
usually
can't believe
behind
she was even
the camera,
nervous.
So.
Girl,
wow.
baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're going to have to come back.
Seriously.
I'll come back. I have done it once, so I can come back.
I'm just so grateful. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at www.rockyandjiffy.org. That's RAQY, the letter N, JIFFY.org. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, bitch.